So, Jay, where did you get the name Beans on Toast from?
I conjured it up out of thin air. Obviously it's a bit of a stupid name, but I guess it's... I think it quite well describes the music that I make, really. It's kind of cheap, easy, and English. It just kind of come from that.
Is Beans on Toast one of your favourite things to eat?
Not at all. I actually prefer spaghetti hoops, but didn't have the same ring to it.
Can you describe your sound for everyone, please?
Well, generally, just because you kind of have to in scenarios like this, I generally call it trunk folk. Folk is obviously a kind of huge, broad umbrella of music, so you have to kind of pigeonhole yourself further into that. But it's folk music, but I guess I call it trunk folk. That's what it says on my little social media bio.
When did you aspire to be a singer?
I guess I've sort of told people I was in a band when I was in school before I ever thought about singing or kind of playing guitar. I just used to graffiti the name of a band around school and kind of tell everyone that I was. And then I was like, shit, you know, maybe we should start actually making some music. And it kind of came second. But I guess as a teenager, I started played in a band for a bit and was sort of, once I started writing songs, I never really stopped, basically, and it's just something that's kind of come quite naturally to me, and just kind of continually do it.
So you just mentioned that you write your songs. Do you write and produce all of your songs yourself?
Oh yeah. You know, that's I'm not a particularly good guitar player or singer. If there is one kind of thing which kind of carries me along, it's definitely the songwriting. First and foremost, I would say that's what I do. And as far as producing the kind of recording aspects of my music, I do with other people. You know, each album I've recorded with different people in different places, and they kind of take the production role. But yeah, certainly, you know, everything else.
So your eighth studio album is coming out on December the 1st, called A Spanner in the Works. What was the process creating it like?
As you said, it's the eighth record. I'm on a pretty like a year sort of cycle at the moment, where each year I'll kind of, you know, I'll put an album out, I'll tour it, and then I'll do some stuff in other countries, come back to the festivals, and then straight into the studio. I'm always writing. So it feels like a kind of a year, an album a year is my kind of natural output. I'd never sort of like think I haven't got any songs or whatnot. So it's as much as each album is obviously kind of a standalone record, is the whole thing, the kind of is one massive project, and the albums are kind of marking points. So as far as the kind of creative process of the writing of it, it's just a major part of what I do. And I'll take 2 weeks out to record it. This one was recorded, we didn't do it in a studio, we did it on a laptop in a friend's house, which was almost like a dare. You know, this someone was just like, you know, it's so much you can do on everything's on computers these days, you know. It's like, let's look at doing, it's not the kind of music you would normally look to a computer for digital sounds. You know, it's generally quite sort of guitar-led, singer-songwriter sort of stuff. So we kind of took it on as a bit of a gamble, and it was a really interesting process. Computers can make an endless array of sounds, so there's benefits to that, and there's also kind of curses to it as well. You can get lost down little blibbly blobbly rabbit holes of kind of synthesized noises, which I had to kind of crawl my way out of quite quickly. But it was that recording process was different to every other album that I've made, but at the same time I still think the record kind of sits quite comfortably in my kind of back catalogue. You know, it still sounds like a Beans on Toast record. It's not like Euro pop or techno or anything like that. It's still folk music. It's just got some digital sounds in there.
So you feature some special guests such as your mum and old friends on the album. What was it like to involve them?
It's good. My mum was I had this song called Fearmongering Claptrap, which was a pretty sad song about climate change and the kind of sorry state of affairs that the world is in environmentally at the moment. And I like my songs to be quite positive generally. and I just couldn't think of a way of ending this song on a bright note. And so I was playing a lot of gigs, and I was just saying to people, I can't finish this song. If anybody's got a good idea for the ending of this song, then let us know. And a few people sort of, you know, got in touch and sort of said, oh, what about this and what about this? And then my mum actually was at a gig, and she was like, you can't, like, come on, it can't be that bad. And they had a kind of positive, let's get together and make the world a better place sort of message. So I let her write the last verse, and then after we'd done the record, me and Dan just surprise attacked her and went round and set up a mic and told her to sing it. So she kind of special guested, and she wrote the optimistic verse in a sad song about climate change. And the other guests, it was like, you know, it was what the songs needed. And I always like to get, you know, different people in, and if a song needs some doo-wops or a bit of fiddle, or, you know, then we just try, lucky enough to know people that can kind of do them things, and just kind of track them down just to bring a little bit of a sort of flavourings to the album.
Your winter's tour starts on the 17th of November. Have you got a favourite venue that you like to perform, or a favourite country?
Well, England's definitely, you know, it's at home, and that is, touring anywhere else feels exotic, you know, but first and foremost, touring England is, you know, is what I do, so that's definitely my favourite place to play. As far as favourite venue, you know, I love it all. There's so many different kind of cities around England for different reasons. This, I am doing, at the end of this tour, I'm doing a show at a venue called O'Meara, which is like a brand new London venue set up by a friend of mine, Ben Lovett, and it's top to bottom brilliant 300 capacity venue with a kind of late license and a good PA. And it's obviously been a tragic year for venues, or certainly at the moment it's like, you know, you keep on hearing all these venues are closing down, and it's all kind of bad news across the board, and it's good to counteract that with, there's a new good venue that's opened up without noise limitations and with a good PA and with a good kind of, you know, good people working it, and, you know, it's not all doom and gloom. So that one, I've kind of gone all out, and I've booked a sort of massive bill of music that goes from kind of 8 a.m. to 2, that's not 8 a.m, 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. So I'm particularly looking forward to that, because it's kind of hosting a big party, but I'm looking forward to just getting on the road and the whole tour as well.
Definitely, yeah. So finally, have you got anything for your fans to keep their eyes open for?
Apart from the album and the tour,
yeah,
and my mum, just keep their eyes open for, just look, keep their eyes open, look after each other. I guess it's a tough time at the moment. Feels like someone's flushing the world down the toilet. So more than ever, keep your eyes open and look after each other.